Om Shanti. Good morning. Or good afternoon. No, good morning. In the last month or so that I've had the good fortune to be in Madhuban, there's one particular mantra that's been resonating in my mind. And that mantra are two Hindi words that Bap Dada has often reminded us of, but they feel very real to me at this time. And those two words are Nirakar Farishta, the incorporeal angel. That the times that we're passing through now, it's not just, these two words are not just a state, but they're a practice of the intellect also. The ability to become incorporeal in 1 second, and then the ability to come down into your karma as a subtle light angel, to be able to touch everything with lightness, without any residue, nothing sticking to you. And the more that I've kept this slogan in my mind, the more I'm starting to feel the magic of Karan Karavan Har Baba. And how Baba's energy starts to bring order to chaos. The old world is chaotic. Everything connected with it is chaotic. Nothing in Kali Yuga goes in a straight line. It's impossible. And a couple of days ago I was involved in a bit of a serious meeting where one person had been quite upset with the other person. It's common everywhere. But to be in a meeting like that, and it was very clear to me as a detached observer that the particular person who was upset also didn't have the capacity to face their own weakness. Now, why is it that we often get upset? We get upset because we project a dissatisfaction of something that's weak inside us. Yeah? And in that moment, I can't see it. I can't see my weakness. But I can see the person that's making me feel bad. And as I left that meeting, and we had a good outcome afterwards, after hearing both things out, and really just supporting an atmosphere of blamelessness. As I was coming back up to Mount Abu, to Pandav Bhavan, and I went to Baba's room, and we sat, and in the car we were having a conversation about the subject of entropy. That there are two enormous forces at work at this point in time. One is the force of entropy, which is the energy of dissipation, dispersion, degradation, something going down. So it's going down. And then there's the energy of ascent, of concentration, which is yoga with Baba, which pulls everything together, concentrates it, and elevates it. Right? That's what yoga with Baba does. That's what a relationship with Baba does. That's what following Srimad does. Is it collects all our dispersed energy, cleans it, and as we begin the upward ascent, Baba pulls the intellect, if it's clean. And we start to experience well-being in chaos. Now look at us now. Pretty relaxed, sitting on sofas and the world is falling apart. Yeah? And yet there's a feeling of spiritual well-being. And so, you know, entropy is natural, normal. It is what it is. You don't blame entropy. Something has to degrade. Now, when I think about in that particular situation how entropy works in a person's life, in my life, you know, when I've perhaps done things that are easy rather than doing things that are right. It's easy to go downhill, to let yourself just be taken by something. And you can be taken by many supports. You can be taken by the support of your life experience. You can be taken, you can have support by how much money you have in your life. You can take support from the people you know in your life. And you can ride on that. And that riding is also part of entropy. Understand? To make Baba one strength and one support is a process that's very of deep, that requires deep concentration. So, you know, at some very deep level, I have to examine in my own life, what are the things that I'm still mentally taking comfort from or support from that don't allow me to make Baba one strength and one support and to face what is coming in front of me? Now, the interesting thing is that this vision, I had this feeling when I was sitting in Baba's room, how when something is original, it has strength. Original gold, for example, has a very lovely sheen. It's quite beautiful. It's not glittery. It's not kind of showy or sparkly like mixed gold. But the shelf life of mixed gold is less. And so something that is mixed, it doesn't last long. And there comes a point when it will disintegrate. It will fall apart. Entropy means things have to disintegrate. They have to fall apart. Something has to ride out. Now, in that whole process, when something splits, all these bits are flying everywhere. In these bits that are flying everywhere, some bits are false, some bits are true. Some bits are real. What's the work of an angel? It's to be concentrated enough to be able to pick all the bits that are real and string them together. So people often complain about entropy, oh, things are degrading, things here are degrading, etc. Yes, but it's also the time of the greatest opportunity. Because it's destruction, it's establishment, destruction, and then sustenance. So something has to shatter, something has to dissipate, it has to disintegrate for us to find the real pieces in it. I can't question destruction. It is normal and it has to happen. Anything that is old and false will go through a destruction process. It is inevitable. But what I can do is put myself in a position of readiness, prepare myself to see the opportunities and play with the goodness of the bits that are coming out so that we can reconstruct something new out of it. That's why when they show the picture of the lotus, it's always in mud. Yeah? The whole, our whole future and our deity form rests on how we utilize what's happening to us now. Every experience that we're going through now, how we relate with it and how we utilize the opportunity is what will allow the deity to emerge. Because the deity emerges. The lotus emerges from the mud. So, in terms of a context, of course, the first requirement is complete acceptance of this three-step process. Establishment, destruction, and sustenance. And also acceptance at a very deep level of who I am. Now, before the step of an angel is the Brahmin. And for me, at a very deep level, to be able to activate that angel, I have to activate very powerfully the confluence aged Brahmin soul. Because here's the step. The first is the confluence aged Brahmin soul. The Brahmin that's the first creation of God at this special time. And this is a special time of ascent. Even time is helping us. Baba is helping us to ascend. Our effort is minimal. The second is the awareness that I am a Brahmin becoming an angel. And the third is I am an angel becoming a deity. So the first step of deep acceptance, I am a confluence-aged Brahmin soul. What does that mean? What does that mean? I can change my... Exactly. Right now, at this point in time, I am Baba's first creation. I am reborn as a Brahmin, and I have all the powers inside me to defeat Maya. I can change. The power of transformation is the power of Brahmin soul. And the Brahmin is not a Brahmin without Baba. Because it's Baba's creation. Not just Shiv Baba's creation, but Brahma Baba's creation. And so my faith in both Babas, in Bab Dada, in being able to follow Bab and Dada. Sometimes I hear from some Brahmins, yeah, I have a good relationship with Shiva, but Brahma, no need for Brahma. Well, actually, without Brahma Baba, you wouldn't be a Brahmin. Brahma Baba is working overtime in the subtle regions to find. He found all of you. It was after the Avyakta part began that so many of the double foreigners emerged. And so we are the creation of Avyakta Bhaptada. And so deeply examining that relationship with Shiv Baba. What does it mean to follow Shiv Baba? You know, the internal practice of becoming incorporeal, becoming bodiless, being with the bodiless Father. And then following Father Brahma. Is becoming avyakt. Subtle in everything I think, speak and do. The grossness of speech or the grossness in behavior, the grossness in interaction finishes. And so cultivating subtlety begins with cultivating pure feelings. Keeping myself in pure feelings. It's such a beautiful effort because, you know, I remember many years ago, a few of us were sitting with Daddy Janki and we asked Daddy, what's your effort at this time? And Daddy very simply replied to say, my effort is to keep my feelings clean. It's a very simple effort. And yet it's very profound. Because when my feelings are clean, my thoughts become subtle. And when my thoughts start to become subtle, my attitude starts to become subtle, my vision starts to become subtle, I start to see what is beyond the obvious. My eyes don't get trapped on the surface. I don't battle with what's on the surface. Because that's what a warrior does. So cultivating subtlety, yeah, as a Brahmin soul is the transition from Brahmin to angel. Now what's very important is that this whole subject of keeping my feelings clean is deeply linked to the subject of purity. What's my relationship with purity? Because that power of purity is the power of a confluence-aged Brahmin soul. And if I'm accepting myself as Baba's first creation as a Brahmin, and I have faith in both fathers, then I have to work with this power of purity. By default, I have accepted purity as my original religion. You cannot activate the angel without this groundwork. In a very real way. I know that many people tend to practice angelic state by visualizing an angel with lights and flying and wings and whatnot. But you can do that for a short time. But the construct of purity has to be built. And at the moment, internally, our lifestyle still contains a shuddhi, impurity. We haven't fully embraced purity at the level of thoughts, at the level of our nature, at the level of our relationships. We've perhaps maybe embraced a compromised level. Yes, Baba, I love you, but I want a little bit of this as well. Yeah. So it's not one Baba and none other. It's maybe one Baba and one other. Just one other. That's not complete purity. So a confluence-aged Brahmin, you can reclaim your power when you deeply accept purity as your original religion. And that purity in the form of cleanliness, the cleanliness of your feelings, purity in the form of honesty. Keeping your chart clear in front of Baba. Not being clever in front of Baba. That's a different thing. But deeply honest, where you self-realize what is impure inside you. How you're thinking, how you're seeing things. That's what Baba wants to know. He doesn't want to know about the situation. He wants to know, has the child realized her old, her weaknesses and scars? And the third form of purity is newness. Because here's the thing. Baba often says, Baba never uses the word positive, negative, but he uses the word old and new. That we have to let go of the old world from our intellect. Old sanskars, old nature, old ways of seeing things, old ways of doing things. And these old ways might be very acceptable in the old world. You might be seen to be very clever and wise and whatnot in the old world, but in Baba's book, it's old. It has old energy. And we are not here in Brahmin life to recycle old things. We are here to become completely new. the purity has a deep connection with this aspect of newness in my thinking. And of course that's connected with the Murali, because its Baba provides us with a lot of newness, new perspectives, new ways of seeing things, doing things. So looking at purity in my life at these three levels, cleanliness, honesty, and newness, very deeply. And then as the power of purity grows, which is fundamentally the power of transformation in Brahmin life, now that's the energy with which I defeat Maya. Because I make a choice towards purity. And then when the Brahmin becomes the angel, what is the main quality of the angel? Sorry? Detachment. Innocent. Huh? Happiness. Light. Double light. So internally, the preparation of lightness. Lightness in thoughts, lightness in relationships, lightness in interaction, and lightness in touching a task. The beautiful thing about purity as a confluence aged Brahmin is when you deeply embrace purity, the first thing that you start to do is develop a sattoguni buddhi. You know, sattoguni, that intellect that picks up the quality of the highest goodness from everything. That's the kind of intellect that we develop as a Brahmin. The ability, in no matter what kind of situation is happening, whatever, conflict, dissipation, disintegration, whatever the entropic process is, the sattoguni buddhi will be able to pick up the qualities of the highest goodness and then paint a new vision out of it. And that skill is essential. You cannot become an angel without developing a sattoguni buddhi. Because your own sanskars will bring you down. And we have so many sanskars. We have sanskars of looking at defects, weaknesses. We have sanskars of thinking too much. We have sanskars of speaking wastefully. And so at a very deep level, when I think of sattoguni, and the other day Baba saying in the blessing that a yogi soul will be one that has a don't care attitude. It was today's Murali. Has a don't care attitude towards other people's defects. Even if they're listening to other people, somebody's relating somebody's defects, the yogi will have a don't care attitude towards it. So it's deeply cultivating a don't care attitude towards impurity of any kind. Fine. You can tell me this is the reality of the situation, but internally, I am not going to accept it in my intellect. Because what I'm going to accept in my intellect is this is an effort maker, a confluence aged Brahmin soul. And I have to cooperate as a Brahmin soul with my virtues. So the non-acceptance and this don't care attitude towards impurity also keeps me clean and light. Because if you stop for even one moment and you start to accept these kind of impurities in your intellect starts to feel a burden after a while. Because it's that situation that starts to rotate in what that person said about that person. then your vision towards that person changes, your attitude towards that person changes. And all of that falls into the account of sin. Daddy was very, very strong in this area. Daddy was very strict with us in this area. I remember many, many years ago. Of course, things happen in service, you know, in the service field. Differences of opinion, differences of, you know, natures and scars, and each one has their own capacity to cope with differences. And mine was being quite challenged by a particular soul at that time. And in those days, after Murali, Daddy would often go for a short walk. And we were in Oxford, and I was taking her for a short walk. And halfway through the walk, she asked me, she said, "Is everything okay?" And I said, "Yes, Daddy, generally everything's fine, but I'm having problems with this particular person." And I started to describe some of the situation. And after a couple of minutes, Daddy stopped me in my track. And Daddy looked at me and she gave me such a stern eye. And she said, "What do you want Daddy to do? You want Daddy to believe everything you say? You want Daddy to accept what you're saying? Because if you start speaking about this soul like this, it will become a sanskar for you. And this sanskar will be an obstacle in your efforts. So stop speaking now." Now, if my ego was super big, I would feel insulted. Daddy doesn't understand me, Daddy doesn't understand my situation, where I've come from, she didn't listen to me fully. But the Satoguni Buddhi picked up the lesson. No matter what something is like, no matter what state it's in, do not amplify it. Do not spin it any further. Because if we take our intellects in that direction of what's not working, everything is not working. Everything. But the intellect has to go in the direction of the effort. The effort someone's making. The effort that needs to happen to move forward. That's a Satoguni Buddhi. They will spin the cycle clockwise. So when you spin the cycle clockwise, you're moving on. They will not spin the cycle anti-clockwise. What does spinning the cycle anti-clockwise look like? Problem? What does it look like practically, spinning the cycle anti-clockwise? Why did that happen to me? How did that happen? That shouldn't have happened. It could have happened something differently. You know, and let me go back into this past. And if I go back into this past, and I'll go back into another past. And it's endless. You know, some people think, let me go back into this past life, or my origins of my childhood, this is what happened. Yeah, and then when you go to the origins of this childhood, you'll go back to the past life of how you left your other life. Then you have to go back to the birth of that life, and then it's endless. And then how many excuses will you find not to move forward? And it's drama's fault, exactly. Blame, blame, blame. Yeah. And that is precisely what the ego wants. Because when it's got you spinning something anti-clockwise, you are very far away from Baba. And that's very good news for Maya and Ravan. Then you'll get all their friends coming for a cup of tea. Ego brings with it attachment. You'll need to find somebody that you can take support from, that will listen to your ideas, that will believe what you say. You'll maybe make a little clique, a little group, and then use the royal we. We call it false unity around a common enemy. It doesn't last. So this whole aspect of oneness it comes, the feeling of oneness comes when we cultivate cleanliness in our feelings and cleanliness of intellect. Because, you know, purity with it brings with it a lot of compassion and mercy. Whatever the packaging we're in, it's the product of our 84 births. That's all, it's just the packaging. But inside this packaging, there's an incognito effort maker. Can I recognize that diamond? Can I recognize what Baba sees? I was just sharing with somebody yesterday. There was a particular incident where somebody had asked Daddy this question. Say, Daddy, how can I trust somebody who lies to me? They're lying to me. They're lying. How can I trust them? And Daddy went into silence and she said, look, you can't trust someone's nature and sanskars because that's always changing. But what you can put your trust in, especially in the Brahmin family, is the trust in how Baba wants to use that soul. Why Baba has chosen that soul and how Baba wants to use that soul. You can put your trust and faith in that 100%. And that's cooperation in Brahmin life. That's what starts the work of harmony. I will move closer to you when I start to put my faith and trust in how Baba wants to use you, why Baba chose you. But if I only see your defects and weaknesses, I will distance myself from you. And it's this movement of harmony, the movement of closeness, is what eventually brings unity. So the sattva-guni intellect, very subtle intellect. It's faith in one. Its intellect is aware of one. Only one. And then from that place of the awareness of one, I examine what I'm seeing. Is that correct? I examine what I'm thinking. I examine my nature and sanskars. And the beautiful thing is from a place of oneness, the awareness of one, you can start to shed what is not aligned with one. Because that's what is needed. I have to let go. When I let go, it will let go of me. This is not useful in my relationship with the One anymore. And so the whole aspect of becoming double light, cultivating. The first is the power of purity as a Brahmin soul, my powers from Baba. The second is the double light. And you know, for me, making the angel a reality, a real stage, had a lot to do with two things. One was very deeply cultivating the stage of the detached observer in life and feeling Baba as my companion. You know, we use these beautiful words, sati and sakshi. That I'm sitting with Baba and I'm watching everything as a detached observer. That was one stepping stone. The second one was very much, it started with going into the depth of Baba's qualities. You know, sometimes you can't stabilize yourself in your own peace. Maybe you'll say, I'm a peaceful soul. And then it'll last for 2 seconds. I'm a tired soul. Right. But when you start going into Baba and Baba's energy, it automatically quickly starts to evoke a beautiful sweetness, and Baba's presence will pull your intellect. And so one of the practices for me that's been very helpful in finishing wastage, especially of feelings and wastage of thoughts, is going into Baba's titles, invoking Baba's titles. And the moment the soul starts to feel Baba's presence and the sweetness of Baba in one of his titles, the Merciful One, Dilaram, the Comforter of Hearts, whatever title, you can let go easily. Because the mind is like a naughty child. You give a child a toy, no, I'm not going to let go. And then you give the child a new toy, then automatically lets go of the old one. Right? So in the same way, the mind needs to play with the sweetness of who Baba is. Play with the sweetness of your own inner qualities. Have you ever sat and gone into the depths of your peace? Beautiful, sat and go into the depths of your joy. Go into the depths of your purity. Feel the specialness and the sweetness of who you are. That is the energy of the avyakta stage. It's the special feeling of your qualities, the special feeling of Baba's qualities. And then the proof of an avyak stage is that feeling of specialness, you'll bring it into whatever you do. It'll make your activity unique. People will look at them and even the way you smile will be unique. Even the way you speak will be unique. You bring a uniqueness, a specialness into everyday karma. It's not ordinary anymore. And that's when, even when you smile from the avyakta stage, someone's heart will be fulfilled. They'll feel, oh, an angel just looked at me. Because it's the vibration of those special qualities that reaches others. And so, you know, cultivating the double light stage is liberating myself from wastage. Okay, I might not perform any sinful karma anymore, but how much time, energy am I wasting? Small things. Many years ago, I think it was Sister Mahini, and I very much like from New York, I very much like what she says. She said, if I have to think more than 10 times on something, I leave it. I give myself this many amount of thoughts on something. After that, no more. Like an economy of thoughts. It requires an economy at a deep level to make yourself subtle so you don't let your energy dissipate and disperse. You have to concentrate energy. And so if I don't start economizing at a mental level, at a verbal level, at an interaction level, I can't build up enough power to concentrate in yoga. The reason why we don't experience Baba's love in yoga is because of wastage. There's an account of wastage that's accumulated that's created a burden in the soul. And that burden doesn't let us fly and it doesn't let us experience closeness to Baba. And so finishing waste thoughts, wastage at every level, is what cultivates the double light stage. And then very quickly, you can go from one to another. You can pick up what's good and make things move forward. You won't get trapped in other people's waste thoughts about a situation. You won't have to spend time analyzing their waste thoughts about why has this happened. No, you will have the power to quickly help somebody see what's new. How to move forward. That's the work of an angel. analysis is not the work of an angel. And the funny thing is that in order to operate as an angel at this level, where in any scenario in the drama, you can pick what's good and move with it, move forward, you need to actually cultivate a stage of not thinking. Completely not thinking. You know, look at your practical life. Even at a subtle level, what tends to happen? You have many things to do in a day. What do you start to think? Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. Right? And in that process, just that extra I addition of the I have to, you've just put a subtle burden. And that burden then makes you feel like you're doing a lot. Do you get my point? And as it makes you feel like you're doing a lot, oh, I've done this, and I've done this, and I've done this, and oh, it actually limits your capacity. It limits how much the feeling of Karan, Karav, and Harbaba in your life. I remember a sheikh had come to, no, it was an emir from somewhere in the Middle East come to see Daddy. And I was translating, and he's a big businessman. And he was saying to Daddy, Daddy, I understand, you know, you say, don't think. But I'm a businessman. And next week, I've got to, in two weeks' time, I've got to present a business proposal to, you know, some member of the royal family, and I have a team working on it. How can I not think? What does that mean? And Daddy gave a beautiful response. She said, Daddy keeps herself free from two thoughts. I have to do something, or I have done something. Really simple. You keep yourself free from these two thoughts, nothing will stick to you. I have to do something, or I have done something. Because you know, for an angel, there are two obstructions. One is body consciousness, as we know. But the other, more subtle one, is the arrogance of the body. And especially this starts to get cultivated in subtle ways after becoming a Brahmin soul. So what is the arrogance of the body look like? The arrogance of my good nature. Subtle arrogance of how much I've changed. The arrogance of how knowledgeable I am. Even the arrogance of a yogi soul. The arrogance of my special talents in service. The arrogance of the accomplishments in service. An angel doesn't have any of this. There is no I. There is a deep feeling of Karan Karavanhar Baba. Baba is doing this and making me do it. And you know, at a very deep level, when we become Brahmins and we take Srimat from Baba and we start to follow that Srimat, and we reconstruct our life on the basis of that Srimad, then by default, there is nothing in that life that is I. I was saying that to someone today. I said, you know how clothes have a label, made in Japan, made in China, made in Korea? Well, this person has a label made by God. Because you are made by God. Even the way you think is informed by Baba's knowledge. How can you have arrogance about your own opinions and ideas? How can you keep saying they didn't listen to my idea? If the very basis of the construct of your life is Baba's knowledge and Baba's Srimad. So for an angel, you know, you start to deeply appreciate Karan Karavanhar Baba. And it does require me to become nirsankalp. Nirsankalp is a beautiful word in Hindi. It's free from thoughts. Even how can I do this? Free. Why should I put that extra burden on my mind? When it comes in front of me, we'll be a detached observer, sit with Baba, and then see what to do. Why to have excess thoughts before it? Nirsankalp. It means to allow yourself to be present in each moment with Baba, with a state of mind that is free. So Baba can touch it. I found a lot of benefit from this particular practice, because this is one of Dadi Janki's specialities. If I think of why Dadi is where she is, it's because she has cultivated a state of being free from thoughts. Nirsankalp. She sits with Baba and she waits. She waits for something to emerge. If something comes, she'll share it. If it doesn't come, she'll be silent. Because that's real. If Baba is Karan Karavanar and Baba has to do the work, why should I get in the way? And the second thing that I feel may have made Dadi who she is today, like a living angel in front of us, is the practice of being a videhi trustee, a bodiless trustee. You know, the practice of shedding again and again. It finishes the effect of karma and of influence. If you can't practice the bodiless stage, you will not be able to sustain the avyakta stage. This has a deep connection. Sometimes we have this feeling, we know what is right, we know what to do. But I can't. Why? Because there's still an influence. There's an effect working on me. And the one thing I've noticed with Daddy, as soon as something's finished, stop and drop. Move on. Yes. It's an aspect of soul consciousness, bodilessness. There are many stages in soul consciousness. There's the seed stage, the incorporeal stage, and each one has a slightly different experience of the soul. But the bodiless stage is very much the act of letting myself, literally just shedding the awareness of the body, letting myself become, letting Karan Karavanhar do his work, letting go, withdrawing my energy, finishing the effect of what I have to do, what's happened. Daddy would often say to us that a little practice that in between your everyday tasks, make your intellect bodiless. So the intellect completely finishes the feeling of what it's done and renounces the feeling of what it's about to do. Does that make sense? And so as you make the intellect bodiless in between, you actually feel by the end of the day that you haven't done anything. So light. But when that practice of making the intellect bodiless isn't there, and being a trustee isn't there, then you'll arrive at the end of the day and feel, oh, I've done a lot. An angel never says, I've done a lot. An angel always says, Baba, that's done it. And miracles happen. I mean, sometimes I think, I don't know how things are possible, but it's because I didn't think. I didn't let myself think. And that as soon as something finished, throw it in the ocean. It's not mine anymore. So, These are internal subtle practices that when they are activated, and when you really work with them, the angel does its work. Very fast, quick, 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 quick. Keep things light. You can make other people light. You can help other people see how to move forward. You can help see goodness. You can make people see. The angel's work is quick, quick. Light touch everywhere. But never get trapped in anything. This is a double light stage. Cultivating lightness in thoughts and feelings and nature. Easiness in your nature. And then the angel that is becoming a deity. You have to know on the either side of the angel there is the Brahmin and then the destination of the deity. So then you know what the work of the angel is. Yeah. It's sandwiched between the Brahmin and the deity. And it has to fulfill the responsibility to both. So the angel fulfills the responsibility to the Brahmin by upholding purity in everything, cleanliness, satoguni buddhi, and to the deity is by becoming virtuous. You know, sometimes we do have to do an honest reality check of our virtues. The proof of becoming completely knowledgeable and a completely yogi soul is that you are fully loving and detached. And so, you know, doing a reality check of our virtues. Because in our Brahmin life, Brahmins don't sustain Brahmins. We cooperate. Baba is sustaining Brahmin souls. Baba is the sustainer. So when you hear anybody saying somebody's sustaining somebody, it's not the reality. The reality is I as an individual am receiving from Baba and I am sharing with you what I've received from Baba. How can I put myself in between to say I'm sustaining you? Baba sustains. And I really loved Dadi Janki for this. Because she's never allowed herself to get in the way. Very easy, she's a powerful soul. It's easy to get attached to her. It's easy to become dependent. But the work of an angel is you can't make anyone dependent on you. The work of an angel is to take everybody up, not to become a medium in between, which is what happens in religions. Only through me you can go to Baba. Only if I do a meditation commentary for you, you can go to Baba. I remember in one country, they were saying, can you sit down and give us a meditation commentary? I said, absolutely not. You have an intellect, you have a relationship with Baba, work it out and reach Baba yourself. If I do a meditation commentary for you, then that's my experience with Baba, not yours. And then what are you going to do? You're going to end up making me your guru. No, thank you.
Thank you. विकराल विनाश खड़ा आगे। पांडव शिव शक्ति सेना की रणभेरी अब फिर बजती है।
शिव बाबा के ज्ञान से फिर माया को मार भगाना है।
शिव पिता को अब याद करो, सतयुग में अपने सुकर्मों के बल पर ही सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है। सतयुग में अब तुम्हें आना है।
It's a beautiful thing to become an angel. Just as I love to be a Brahmin soul, I love to be an angel. And I love to be a deity soul. I have to have love and acceptance for all three states. The angel is free. No dependency. You have full permission to be inspired, but not allowed to be impressed. So then going from an angel into a deity. One of the things I've come to realize and see is in some situations the angel has to create lightness. Some situations the angel has to help things move forward. Some situations the angel has to cooperate with a virtue, to fill the gap with a virtue. So what does that look like? If someone's made a mistake, what will the angel do? Uplift them in that moment. It's okay. Whatever is the gap, they'll fill it. They'll step in and fill it. They won't stand there and say, why did this not happen? This should have happened like this. The angel will cooperate with a virtue, because in most situations a virtue is required from us to fill a gap. And we expect that virtue from somebody else, but we don't realize I'm the one that has to do it. I'm the one that has to offer it. I have to start practicing that, offer that energy here. You know, there are so many beautiful moments when you see the daddies of virtue in action. They're melting moments, because this is, you start to feel the love of a deity, the purity of that highest relationship. And you know, many years ago there was a time when Daddy was in London, and you know, Daddy's had this ability to create so many hands, and the hands are kumaris and mothers. And there was one particular elderly mother who Daddy had sent somewhere for service, but she had struggled, and when she came back, she was a little bit blaming Daddy, you know, and she was upset with Daddy and whatever. And so one morning, you know, she came to meet Daddy and she had a bit of an outburst. And then the next day, we didn't see her in class in the morning. So then Daddy says, where is she? Find out where she is. And of course, she hadn't been well. I think she'd felt bad or she wasn't well. I think Daddy had some work to do that day. And then Daddy said, okay, take me to her. And we were saying to Daddy, but Daddy, there's so much to do. You can go later. No, take me to her now. And we asked Daddy why. And Daddy said, Daddy wants to give that soul so much love that she forgets everything. Does she forget what she said yesterday to Daddy? That's the work of an angel. Is that we offer such an abundance of our love and virtue that it makes the other person forget something ever happened. Forget the past completely. Because an angel has no past. It has no past. That was just a stream of thoughts. What did it trigger in you? Sometimes we take ownership of virtues. Well, my experience is that when we come into situations, we're often tested with the virtues that we don't have, or that are not fully emerged in us. The virtues are there because the deity is there, but maybe they haven't been exercised enough. So then I'm put in a situation that is inviting me to work with it and bring it out. Because where I'm already using my virtues, it's not an issue. Right? So I find myself in situations where, you know, I have to ask myself the question, what is the virtue I'm being asked to share and offer here? And then if I don't feel it, that's where Baba comes in. Because, you know, Baba's virtues, Baba's mercy, Baba's compassion, Baba's softness, Baba's easiness, it helps us to emerge our virtues. Baba has so much patience. Baba's so tolerant. And you just start thinking about these things, you can start practicing these virtues. When you just think about how patient God is just with us. So why can't I be that for another? And for me, a beautiful experience of the virtues especially comes when I listen to the Sakarma release. I start to see how Brahma Baba makes effort, how Brahma Baba is relating to Shiv Baba, and I start to see in the Muralis the virtues of Baba. it builds a picture of what a virtuous life is if you were to become like Baba and use Baba's virtues. You know? Ultimately, the gift that we get from Baba is our, the perfection is Satyug. But as we start to keep Baba's company and absorb Baba's qualities and virtues, then we learn how to offer that, when to offer it, where, time and circumstance. We become yogyukt. And in a yogyukt stage, it's not a question of my I. It's just the right thing at the right time in the right place. I mean, it's really simple at the end of the day. You want to activate that angel, it's only the awareness of one. And then magic happens. One. No matter what the situation, the magnet is one. So when my awareness is one, order will start to manifest. If I hold the awareness of the magnet, all the pieces that are linked to the magnet will reveal themselves. The decision will be revealed. The new solution will be revealed. But if I let go of the awareness of one, and I focus on the bits and pieces, Om Shanti. I can be very clever. I can be very strategic. I can play a lot of chess with the situation and the circumstance. But no solution. No feeling of Satyug. We're moving towards Satyug. The old has to finish. So don't worry about it. Any other thoughts? One Baba and none other. Really, at a very deep, this is a very deep aspect. It's not an intellectual thing. Because remember one thing, we're plugged into many things, sources of support, unknowingly. And you will only realize how much support something was in your life until that thing is taken out of your life. And so for me, Dadiji's presence had been very important, but that support was a very pure support, and so you never felt a dependency in that relationship. But when Dadiji left, oof, I felt it. I thought, and I remember very clearly the 20 minutes we arrived after that he had passed away. And I went into the room, and she looked like she was peacefully sleeping. And in those moments, of course, the tears were beginning. And then suddenly, it was like somebody pressed the pause button. And it was like this loud voice. It just felt like it was in the room. It was like, is this the proof of all the sustenance I've given you? One Baba and none other. It was like hitting the pause button. And I couldn't cry after that for a long while. You know, so if something is taken away, your money is taken away from you. Your house is taken away from you. Your job is taken away from you. One Baba, none other. Yeah, because everything will happen on the basis of what your intellect is convinced with. This is a very subtle dynamic, you have to see. Even on the path of bhakti, Baba, he never gave a vision of himself as a point of light. He gave a vision of what that soul had faith in. Do you see my point? If God hasn't come here to prove himself, he's come to elevate something powerfully. And so if somebody had faith in bhakti in Hanuman and they thought Hanuman was God, they'd get a vision of Hanuman. Baba didn't come in the way and say, excuse me, Hanuman's not God, I'm God. So it's subtle. What you hold in your intellect and what you have faith in will manifest. That's why being yukti-yukt with souls is important. Maintaining bhavna is important. Like, I see that especially in the health area, you know, when people take medication. So if somebody really has faith that this medicine is helping me, don't take them off it. Their faith is doing the work. And then some people, oh no, convince, no. You have to work in a very yukti-yukt way to keep a level of bhavna going so that someone feels well. And then at some point, the right moment, that bhavna can be redirected with knowledge. But you can't break someone's bhavna. Does that make sense? Yeah, so for each soul, you have to ask your intellect and your heart, do I fully accept that tomorrow, if I have nothing, Baba will look after me? Because there are people today, oh no, I have enough to look after myself, so I don't need to depend on you. But it's a false support, because today you can have a bank account full of money, tomorrow, Om Shanti, if the government decides to shut down your bank accounts. It's a completely false support. It's a deep aspect. One Baba and none other. And we are tested in this subject. The body, with wealth, in relationships, that's our test. One Baba and none other. So in relationships, if someone's opposing me, what does one Baba and none other look like? What does it look like?
Everything looks like a cartoon.
Everything looks like a game, a cartoon. What else does it look like? No attachment. It also looks like humility. Okay. Even if I didn't make the mistake, I'll say I'm sorry. Why? Because at least it will put calm things down. At least it will. And once things are calm, Baba can do his work. Even if I have to take the blame for someone else, it's okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for someone else's mistake. But I will not let myself become a warrior, because every time I've let myself become a warrior, I cannot activate the angel. It's not the warrior that becomes the angel. It's the Brahmin that becomes the angel. And so, yeah, our ego constructs get broken in the process, which is a great thing. If I feel insulted, it's a great thing. It means my ego is breaking. So what? Tolerate it. We have to become egoless anyway, right? So we're just being helped. If we don't do it voluntarily, we're being helped by the drama. Because our destination is definitely incorporeal, egoless, and viceless. Okay. So have a thought-free Madhuban. And let Karan Karavanhar Baba do his magic. And just say, okay Baba, you do what you want to do with me. Okay. Om Shanti. Let's have a few moments in yoga.